Previously, on Throne of Dice.
A wood elf comes sneaking through the trees. Tikka encourages you guys to give your shackles over to him. He's going to cast Polymorph on Cerulea. He's going to turn her into a mule. She touched this tiara once, and it was the curse was part of the tiara, and now she's obsessed with finding it.
Did you see me not kill your dude there? I'm going to show you that not everyone's a bad person because they're different than you.
We left our heroes in Nopthred's Gorge being cornered by three cockatrices.
Think I want to do inflict wounds, but...
Necromancy's taboo.
There's lots of things that are taboo, but you know what? Sometimes you just gotta talk about the taboo things so you can change some lives. To keep it more on the DL, she like puts it in just her hands. 23.
Roll your damage.
I got 22.
Yeah, you touch this bird, desiccates into itself, and all that's left is like skin on skeleton.
I just blew it up. All right, I blew it up in front of everybody. That's okay.
And everybody is really scared right now.
Tikka is going to be my best friend. Tikka is my best friend.
You guys know that this is the ruins of Glenfell. The wilderness is slowly reaching out into the regular lands. We're just passing through. I hope it's not too much of a thing to ask that we stay here before we go back through the mines. So our organization, we rescue people from the death caravans and we train them. We'll send them on missions to rescue other people and we'll send them to get rid of any necromancers that are dangerous. So it's weird seeing somebody who's a drow here. I mean,
after the war, my people were wiped out and pushed back.
There's the ones that are still Tauruk supporters that I've heard of. You're not one of them, are you?
No, sad to say. My parents were, and I have been ashamed of that ever since. They were more than just a part of it. They were head advisors.
I'm part of a rare druidic circle called the Circle of the Stars. When I come into contact with the metal from the king's cuffs, I'm able to siphon it and use it to fuel my own magic.
So what you see is this fleshy, undead, gross arm claw thing that is like stuck to your leg.
Okay, I got 16 plus dex. I got 21.
And I'm gonna roll for them as a group. And
then... I got an 18, by the way.
You're not in the fight right now.
Oh, right. Okay, well, I got an 18 whenever I get there.
I don't even know if you know what's happening yet, Jenna.
Actually, I need you to roll initiative, but I'll tell you why later.
Well, it's 18, so.
Okay. And where is Azira? She's inside, right?
Yes. I was inside talking with Rowan. Is that right?
Okay, so one second. Is a couple things are going to happen all at once. We're going to bounce between different places. I need Azira to also roll initiative.
Okay, can do. Inside my house. Oh, no. My initiative is 19 plus 1, so 20.
Jackie will go first. I'll introduce what's happening to everybody else as the initiatives come in.
Okie dokie.
Let me just figure out who's doing what. Okay, so first to go is Jackie. You see these claws crawling towards you.
Okay, I want to cut them off with my rapier.
Two of them are on the ground. There's one on your leg. You want to cut it down with your rapier, make an attack roll.
Okay, that was 18 plus...
You hit.
Okay.
Sorry, that just was really funny. You hit.
Their armor class is a 12.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
Oh. Unless 14. You rolled a negative 7. Like, sorry, how much per hit points?
For hit points, that's a d8. 1.
Plus your strength.
I have 0 strength.
Oh, I mean, sorry, your dexterity, because it's your rapier. Like, your proficiency in that.
My proficiency bonus is 2.
No, what is the number of your dexterity? Like, is it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? It's 5, right?
5, yeah.
Yeah, so no, it's
4.
No, because you told me to bump it up to 18 and then I wouldn't have to change anything else. Remember?
No, I said bump it up to 18 because that's where your plus 2 is. And 18 is equal 4, a plus 4 modifier.
Okay.
Plus 4. Oh, yeah, 19, 20 is plus 5.
Actually, it's 20, 21 is plus 5. 18 to 19 is plus 4.
I can't remember what I was talking about.
Or something like that. I don't remember. Either way, it's plus 4. So either way, it's dead. You still have 2 coming after you, but that one's dead.
Okay. Can I stand up in front of Hilliard? Like, I will protect you.
Or yeah, if you want to.
Okay.
That one is... One second. I just forgot to note all of my hit points for everything.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so next is Azura. Can you make perception roll for me? Rowan notices nothing, by the way.
That is my bad. That's my first bad roll. Actually, not that bad. It's 4 plus 5, so 9.
Well, he rolled 9 plus 1, so 10. So neither of you really notice anything. And you guys actually get surprised when you get... what's your armor class?
12.
So you see a firebolt come streaming through the back of the house and hitting the wall at the front of the house, coming between you and Rowan, like right between in front of you guys. Yeah, so it was a surprise round on all of you, and I'm gonna jump to Oddbell and Tikka. Can we roll perception there?
Perception
17. 14 and 17. You both hear clinking coming around from the coming from this way and headed towards you. From that, you heard the sound of something happening inside Azura's home, and you also heard Hillier scream.
So, oh wow, this is a choose your own adventure. Where do I want to go?
I lost you guys again. Oh, there you are.
We're doing choose your own adventure.
There's 3 different battles happening at once. So, there was a surprise.
I don't know where everyone is, right? Like, I can't make my decision based on where I, like, who I'd want to help.
So you and Tikka can hear clinking coming from around the home coming towards you. Tikka heard something happen in the house, but you're not sure what happened. And you, not Tikka, heard Hillier screaming from the ritual site.
Okay, so I'm going to prepare an action. So I'm going to prepare a 2-handed attack with my quarterstaff for anyone that comes into range of me.
Okay, so you're preparing an attack. That means that you don't have a turn right now?
Well, no, it's when that happens, like so I don't get a turn right now. I'm just preparing, I'm readying myself for the next time I have a turn. Mm-hmm. Well, the next time that the thing that I say happens. So whoever gets into my space, I'm going to attack them.
So Tikka does the same and he readies his scimitar.
Because I'm trying to guard what's her face.
Yeah, so you guys move to guard Cerulea?
Yeah.
Okay, so he follows suit and he readies a weapon. And because you guys weren't surprised, I'm going to run through what happens in your area before I move away from it, because after that is the next one. Okay, so it'll bounce around a little bit for most of you, but in succession, everybody in your area rolled around the same, so you guys will happen in succession always. But just so that Jackie and Jess are aware, it might bounce between your guys's fights a little bit. Okay. So the idea being that all of this is happening at once. So you guys see coming around the corner of the mansion what looks to be a really heavily armored person, and it's clinking and it's heavy, and it looks kind of rusty, and the armor doesn't look shiny. It doesn't look new. It looks like it's been sitting in water for 5 years or 500 years or something like that. And it looks kind of gross. And so that's the action for that figure, is like just it moving towards you, and it is now within about 20 feet, 15, 20 feet of you. Next is going to go back to Hillier is going to fight the one of them with something he's going to use Thorn Whip on it. And I said what Thorn Whip was in the last one, so I'm not in the first episode, so I'm not going to go ahead and do that again. But
it was just basically a bunch of thorns coming from his hands, right?
Yeah, basically. So yeah, that hits, and then it takes 1d6 piercing. Oh my god, stop that.
Was it the cat?
No, I moved a thing and then it... Oh, 6, it's dead. Awesome. So one of them is, you have one claw left, and that thing's going to move, and it's going to attack either one of you, probably Hillier.
Am I still standing in front of him?
You two were laying on the ground, and I don't think you guys got up yet.
No, remember I said I got up and I stood in front of him protectively, like, I will protect you, Hillier.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so because you're in front of him, it's going to attack you instead. Does a 15 hit your AC?
No, I got 16.
Okay, so it goes to grab at you, and it, like, just latches onto your leg again.
Okay.
And the next in the order is Jackie again.
Okay, I cut it off my leg again.
Okay, make an attack roll.
8 + 4 + 2 for proficiency.
That's a 14. You hit.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. And then D8. 6.
Yeah, it's dead. So all three of them are dead. So now you just have a bunch of, like, dead, like, corpse hands all around you. And with that, you guys fall out of initiative, unless you guys make a perception check for me.
They probably should stay in initiative just to keep, like, everything moving.
Well, if they fall back into initiative, it'll be if they come across you guys, but they have had no reason to come near you unless you guys want to check on
everybody
else.
That's not what I mean. I just mean, like, they'll have their turn to do whatever they're doing, and then when they're done, we just go back into initiative.
Okay.
Like, until they find initiative, and then they can just
jump back in where we were before.
Yeah, but for now, you guys, unless you feel compelled to go to everybody else, you guys aren't near anybody, and you didn't hear anything.
I rolled a 20, and I would say, like, we were just attacked, so we would probably want to get back with everybody anyway. Or at least I would, and I would pull him with me.
Well, upon an investigation check, which I'm going to put that in instead of perception, because you guys couldn't have heard anything loud enough for you from there anyways. So upon investigating, your assumption is that these are controlled by something else and you should go to the others. So
okay, yeah, because I rolled a 24.
So do you want to tell Hillier as much? Or
yep, I just turned to him like, we should probably get back to the others.
I think you're right. I think they might need us. So you guys start heading back, but it'll take a couple round or two of combat for you guys to join with everybody else. So okay. Next up is Azira.
All right. Immediately, I'm going to run up to the window and see if I can see what shot a fucking fireball into my house.
Can you roll perception for me?
For sure. And then while I'm running, I would also like to draw my scimitar.
Okay.
I rolled a 2 + 5.
A 2 + 5. 7. You run to the window and see nothing outside and completely miss the figure standing in the hallway. Which is its turn. So it's going to use True Strike on you.
Oh, I don't even know what that is.
Ooh, actually, okay. I might use something else, but I'm going to just look. True Strike. You extend your hand and point a finger at a target in range. Your magic grants you a brief insight into the target's defenses. Nope, I don't want to do that one.
you thought it was an attack spell.
Yeah, I thought it was an attack spell. I want to attack her.
Hurt her feelings.
I want to hurt her feelings.
Please don't hurt my feelings.
They're going to cast Ray of Sickness at you.
Gross.
A ray of sickening greenish energy lashes out towards a creature within range. Make a ranged spell attack against the target. On a hit, the target takes 2d8 poison damage and must take make a constitution saving throw. On a failed save, it is also poisoned until the end of your next turn. Second level or higher, the damage increases by 1d8 for each slot level above first. Well, don't have to worry about that. 17 plus 1, 18. Does that hit?
Yes, my armor class is 12.
Well,
would I be wrong in saying that water Genasi get a resistance to poison damage? Am I wrong? And
we do have a resistance, but it's to acid, not to poison.
Oh.
Yep. Never mind. That's 2d8 poison damage. Where are my d8s here? That's you got 5 points of damage. You now need to make a constitution save.
All right. My constitution roll is 18 plus 3.
Yeah, you saved, so you are not poisoned until the end of the turn. So you managed to save from that, but suck, I guess. Next in the order is Tikka, and Tikka is going to use he's going to make a split decision, realizing that there's a rain. Oh, he's going to go up to it with his scimitar. Yeah, that's what he's going to do. He's going to go up to it with his scimitar, and he's going to hit this thing.
Tikka's out with Oddbell, right? Who's he hitting? I thought they didn't see anybody yet.
Oh, they did. They saw this figure that was in really rusty old armor, and he went to go hit, and it, like, he missed it, and now he's right in front of it, and he's going to use his second action surge to try again. And he misses that as well. So now it is Oddbell's turn.
Okay. So I just see this giant metal man attacking my best friend.
Yeah, your best friend tried to attack him and missed both times.
Okay. I'm going to... Man, I wish I was a higher level monk. Nope, I'm not a monk. I'm a cleric. My bad.
Nailed it. Yeah.
I have a monk character in another campaign. What I'm going to do is I'm going to run up and inflict wounds.
Okay.
Oh, bitch! I got a 23.
That's definitely a hit.
Awesome. Yay. Okay. 3d8. Or is it d10? It's d10. I don't remember. Is it rolling? Oh my god. I got 20.
Okay.
Yes.
Good hit.
Thank you.
That is, it looks damaged.
I just stuck my little paws on him. I was like, get fucked.
Yeah, you got him damaged. But he's gonna come right back at you, and he's going to hit you with his fist.
Ouch.
I don't think he has a weapon.
Ouch. It just, no.
18. Does that hit?
Oh yeah.
5 damage.
Oh, okay. I thought I was gonna get murdered.
And he's gonna do his multi-attack, so he can make 2 attacks on the same person. 18 again. So.
Oh yeah.
You got 3 damage. 8 total.
Okay.
Okay, awesome. Next up is...
He goes after me?
Rowan. The armor person?
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes after you. Now it's Rowan.
Oh, okay.
Well, he saw the person because he tried to attack... He attacked you out of the shadows and he was now paying attention. So he's going to run up to the person standing in the shadows and he's going to hit them with his great axe. And that's a hit. 1d12 slashing. Where's my d12? Yay. Yeah, with that one blow, he's... freaking like bloodied. And I'll leave that there. Next is Jackie. Or no, it's Hillier. It's Hillier. And Jackie, so.
I thought you said that we missed 2 rounds though, because we were still running towards them.
Yeah, so actually next is Azura.
Okay. Am I smart enough to know where the enemy is now, or do I need to do a perception first?
You are smart enough now. You pretty much like saw him hurl like a green thing of magic at you, and then Rowan come up to him, and Rowan just to like try and hurt him. So now what you're seeing, now that you guys have had a chance to see your opponent, he is a Duergar, which you know is a type of dwarf that has been so destroyed by mind flayers that he is basically a shell of himself. His skin is really gray. You can see by the look of him that he looks like he used to be a soldier. And you can see that in his hand that he's clutching to his chest is this dagger with an ornate purplish blue handle and with a gem that is blood red stuck into the hilt. And so he basically looks like a zombie dwarf, but like he's not quite a zombie.
Okay.
He's clutching this knife to his chest.
Okay. I'm going to make a mental note of that knife. And I am going to... Where is Rowan in aspect of the enemy? He's like directly in front of it, hey?
Yeah. So if you're looking from the window and the Duergar is probably about like 5 to like maybe 8 feet to your... If you were facing the window, he'd be like 8 feet to your right. And then Rowan is right beside him towards the front of the... Towards the front of the building. So
okay.
You guys make kind of an L shape.
Okay. So I'm going to move right up next to Rowan. And I'm going to cast Thunderwave.
Okay. What does Thunderwave do?
Thunderwave is a wave of thunderous force sweeps out from you. Each creature in a 15-foot cube originating from you must make a constitution saving throw. Is there any way I can get close enough to the enemy that Rowan isn't in that cube?
He is right beside him.
Okay.
So what maybe kind of save do I have to do?
It's a constitution saving throw, and on a failed save, a creature takes 2d8 thunder damage and is pushed 10 feet away from you. On a successful save, this creature takes half as much damage and isn't pushed.
Well, he failed. He got a 7. Okay. And then the other guy, he got a 11.
Okay.
I'm guessing neither they both failed.
Yeah, because they have to beat 13.
Yeah.
Shit, I should have read more before I did the spell. I don't want to hurt Rowan. Okay. So 6 and 4.
Okay.
10.
So the Duergar is dead, and he, as he's flying back, and Rowan flies back 10 feet and kind of dusts himself off, and he's like injured and he's limping. As soon as the blade falls from his grasp, Tikka and Oddbell are not quite aware exactly why at the moment, but as soon as it falls from his grasp and he is dead, the figure in front of them falls to the ground in a pile of armor and is no longer moving.
Oh.
And with that, you guys fall out of combat.
I don't know whether to be sorry or not.
Why would you be sorry, Rowan?
I didn't mean to hurt you. You were just a little too close. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I can take more bruises. I'll heal. And then you hear Kelly like run out of the door, and he goes, "What happened? What's going on?" And Rudy's like following behind.
Oh, also, sorry, I forgot to tell you that. In addition, unsecured objects that are completely within the area of effect are automatically pushed 10 feet away, and the spell emits a thunderous boom audible out to 300 feet.
Okay, so everybody else hears it, and they know why they know why they
can someone pissed off the druid.
Yes.
They're basically like, oh shit, the druid got pissed off. But Kelly, who was unaffected because he was in a different room, comes to the door and he's like, what just happened? And Rudy stumbles in. She's a little dazed and she goes, yes, what happened out here? And she seems a little more normal now. Rowan takes is stopped by that for a second and like kind of breathes a sigh of relief. And he's like, we were attacked by the zombie dwarf thing. And Kelly like comes out and like comes to look at it like really like concerned. He's like, what the fuck? Before we continue on with that, let's deal with Oddbell and Tikka. What does Oddbell do now that like the thing's collapsed in front of her and she heard this big boom from inside?
From inside of the thing.
Yeah, inside of the so what you guys saw is you heard this big blast come from inside the building and it's shaking all the boards and it's actually collapsed the eaves trough above the
but I'm still fighting the thing that's in front of me.
Nope, it collapsed to the ground and to a heap of armor and there was no one inside of it.
Oh, after the thunder.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
And all of the boards on the house shook and the eaves trough fell and damaged the stairs and the
Okay, I know exactly what I'll do. I'll look at Tikka and say, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
He cackles. In this little cackle. Check on Rowan.
Yeah, I'm gonna find out what happened.
So you guys go inside. So Fluffles and Hillier are probably just coming past the
like those big stone wall looking things.
So
or the vendor stalls.
The vendor stalls. You guys had gone past it and you come around just in time to see the armor fall. Like just in time for the sonic boom to go and for the armor to fall and you guys to kind of be shaking on the ground. And you see Tikka and Oddbell look at each other, share words. You see the Raven Man laugh and they both go running inside. Do you say anything to Hillier or do you both just kind of go?
I just kind of look at him and nod to the house like, you gonna come with me?
And he nods and you guys start going, but before you guys get in, Cerulea says something and she says,
wait, maybe, no, I already did it. Never mind. I was like, maybe I shouldn't leave her alone, but whatever.
She says, wow, it's almost like I'm still right about the necromancy thing, hey? And Hillier just sticks up
that rude bitch.
So he sticks up his ring finger and pinky finger at her, which is the land's form of a middle finger. And she looks very offended.
And I look at her and just look at and just say, I liked you better as an ass.
Hillier cackles as he follows you into the house. Hi, everybody. This is your Dungeon Master Keisha with some ads. Just kidding. We don't have any sponsors. Yet. Maybe one day. We're not quite sure how to do that. So, one day. We just have a couple people to shout out today, specifically Homebrew Queens, who are a D&D group of five sisters trying to save Faye Rune and bring their dad back to the table. They are a D&D real play podcast that started to help pay for their dad's medical bills. He was recently hit by a car and has been in a coma for the last month or so. If you would like to donate or support them by listening to their show, which they just uploaded their first episode, sharing it with your friends, they would very much appreciate that. I'm sure we're in for a really fun time. The other group that I am going to mention, I mentioned last time, their name's Nothing But Dice. They're a fantastic group that plays two different campaigns all at once. They're working to fix the first episode, I believe, of Team A. And it's about two different teams that are trying to figure out how to be heroes, I think, or villains. I'm not quite sure yet. I'm not quite sure which side they're on. They keep messing with their DM a lot. But they're a really amazing group of people, and who knows what's going to happen. You should listen to it. They do want to make a disclaimer that they're still learning how to do this. So their audio quality is promised to get better, but I think they do just fine. Their storyline is definitely worth the listen, so take a listen over there. The last thing I need to tell you about is that at the end of the episode, we had to take some audio from what would have been episode 5 and place it at the end. It's a better ending anyways, but I used too much content for episode 3, so had to make up for it, because otherwise it would just be a 40-minute episode, and I don't think anybody would be happy about that. But it's a better ending, and it just means that instead of 6 episodes for chapter 1, we've got 5, probably, and then we start chapter 2, which we start getting into the more meaty part of the adventure. It took us a long time to travel across the country, so yeah, we're finally going to get into the what's the Order of the Fallen and all that stuff. So I'm excited, and have fun. I'll let you get back to the episode now. Okay, bye.
As an ass.
Okay, so the four of you that have just entered and joined them see Kelly looking over a like really gross, decrepit, like looking corpse of a of a dwarf. And you see a very nervous Azura kind of standing there a little sheepishly. You see Rowan standing there with his arms crossed, looking very concerned. And you see Rudy, who's awake now, and she seems very present, but if not a little tired, standing in the doorway of the bedroom that she was sleeping in. And Rowan says, "I don't think it's safe to stay here."
I turn to him. "No shit, Sherlock.
I'm sorry. Well, what happened to you guys?
Was off."
I said, "I'm sorry. I thought this place was safe."
"Well, usually it is. Don't blame yourself, Azura. What the hell happened to you guys, though? You just why are you saying no shit?"
"We were attacked by 3 zombie hands."
"Yeah, that sounds about right." Right. Hillier says, and Tikka says, "Hey, armor got you beat."
I look at him with an appreciative smile, like, yeah, yeah.
And Rowan says, you okay over there, Kelly?" And he says, "So this might sound really, really weird, but I know who this is."
"What?"
Yeah,
I turn and look at him like, "Excuse me? He's so old and rotted. How do you know him?"
He's my uncle. He went missing several years ago."
I throw up my hands like, "Yay, I'm not the only one with a shitty family."
"Well, see, the thing is, we don't know what happened to him. He went missing quite a while ago. I mean, he was showing a little bit of interest in Toruk, but more so just learning more about the history. He was never interested in following him, but we all assumed that he looked too far, and that the king murdered him. I don't know what he's doing here." And Rowan gets more tense, and he says, "We need to tell Lashin about this right now." Tikka says, What makes you say that?" And he says, "Well, take a look at the frickin' dagger. It looks exactly like the same kind of stone that was in the tiara that Rudy is now cursed by." And Rudy says, "If it's all right with you guys, I'll sacrifice myself for it this time." No, Rudy, you're already having mental issues because of that damn tiara. Somebody else should pick it up."
"Can I just pick it up while they're talking?"
"Sure, make a constitution save."
"Ooh." Okay, that was a crit miss.
Oh my god.
No.
I do believe that when you, like, you can only crit miss, like, attack rolls. I think you can still play as... It's like, really, like, it's really, really bad, but, like, usually ability checks is usually just bad.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, you can play it with consequences if you want to, but killing Jackie right now...
Yeah, she's not gonna die.
Well, she's gonna feel like it, I'm sure, so...
Depends on how you want to play.
I'm just giving you another option. I mean, you don't have to do that. You can obviously.
I'm gonna go with it. It just means that there's two effects that happen.
Okay.
So, I'm gonna roll two D100 rolls. Normally it would be one, but because you crit missed, I'm gonna do two.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. I'm just gonna roll on the wild magic table. That was a 69. So,
great number.
You are frightened by the nearest creature until the end of your next turn, which would be Kelly. Or until I'm gonna say that this is you're afraid of him for the next like hour because there's no more initiative.
Okay.
And then 49. You can't speak for the next minute. Whenever you try, pink bubbles float out of your mouth.
Oh my god, I just imagine, like, Fluffles looking over, seeing Kelly dropping to the floor, like, scooting back and just trying to scream, but pink bubbles coming out of his mouth.
And every time that you're afraid after this, you're gonna have pink bubbles come out of your mouth.
You dug your own grave.
Yeah, fair.
Okay. You're afraid of Kelly. What are you gonna do?
Scream and press myself against the farthest wall, I guess.
Okay, well, Kelly tries to come to you because he's a cleric and that's what he wants to do, but that doesn't work very well, I'm guessing.
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think that would.
So as you're screaming, just streams of pink bubbles fill the air.
Bubble party!
Rowan turns to him and he's like, Kelly, get out for right now. We'll try and figure out what's going on. And Kelly just, like, leaves. And Rudy follows him to try and help him out.
Azura is just gonna look at this drow on the floor.
Screaming pink bubbles.
You didn't take any
damage. So did you, like, get cursed or something, buddy? Like, what happened when you...
At this point, I probably realized I can't make any sound, hey?
Yeah, you can't make any more sound other than screams. You're just like, you can't get words. You're just like, what the fuck?
But without saying what the fuck.
Yeah. So, to follow the effect of the pink bubbles, anytime you're afraid, you can't speak. You can scream, you can't speak, and you make pink bubbles.
Okay. And I'm guessing no one else in the group understands thieves can't.
No.
That's a rogue thing.
That's only a rogue thing. There's no more rogues.
So I imagine I would, like, try using the thieves can't to point to the dagger and be like, this is why, and nobody understands it, but they see me pointing at the dagger.
Does anybody want to do, like, an investigation check? Am I in the room? Just want to know. Yes, you are.
Okay, I think that I'd probably be like, I'd probably get it, but I'd probably want to, like, tease him a little and be like, oh, you mean I have to grab the dagger so I can hear you again? Okay, and then I, like, stop and then wait for his response to see if he, like, gets, like, no, don't do it, and, like, what he does, but I'm not going to touch it.
So then Rowan pipes up and says, we can pick it up, but we need to use some sort of cloth or material.
That was going to be my next suggestion. Just trying
to, I have a blanket.
I mean, that'll work.
Great. I can pick it up. Yeah.
All right. So you pick it up and you don't have any issues.
But I can't. But if I touch it, I'll have to make a constitution save.
Yes. And you may or may not end up with something permanent, depending on how bad you roll.
Oh, man. But I want to. I want to. She's so chaotic. She would.
I mean, if you really want to freaking do it.
I'm going to try it.
Oh, no.
If I die, I'll figure out a different, I'll figure out a new character that's not as fucking crazy. Okay, so constitution. Oh, 18.
Yeah, you can now touch it with no problems.
Yes. Does anything cool happen?
Actually, you see the gem, like, flare up in color, like it's trying to do something to you, and then it can't, so it just kind of fizzles out, and you can kind of feel like it went dormant, and the effect that, because you rolled so high, is that anybody can touch it now without getting cursed.
But I'm not gonna let them know. What kind of dagger is it? Is it just a regular dagger, or what?
So it is a, think of a, like, a hunting blade, and then it's got a very ornate, like, purple purple, cyan mix hilt, like just kind of swirling together. And then in the top of the hilt, there's like this little ball, and in it holds the crystal.
Okay, but is there like anything magical about it? Other, is it like a plus one, plus two?
You can make a,
Oh wait, I have a spell. I have a spell called Identify.
Okay.
Which...
is a...
Oh, wait. I used all my level one spells, but I'll check later. Okay. When I've
you can make an in, you can make an arcana check if you want.
Sure. Ooh, where'd I go? Okay. Arcana. I rolled a 15.
Okay, you can tell that the magic on this blade is, like, it's necromancy. It is pure necromancy. And it'll give you plus two to your necromancy spell casting. So,
what? I don't want this anymore. They're going to judge me. If you're, I'll just be like, oh, man, I don't know. It just, it's gone now. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I'm going to lie. No one needs to know.
Yeah, you're the only one that knows this, that it'll give you plus two to necromancy. But I think everybody's pretty well aware that it channeled necromancy. Just based on the events that happened.
Hey, when I touched it, I just like slipped my hand into like the blanket. I don't want people to know. I'll roll a stealth check.
And I imagine I'm still like on the floor, unable to speak, and just glaring at Jenna now, because it's like, why the hell could you touch it and I couldn't?
Yeah. Oh, did Keisha go too?
No, I'm just writing notes.
Yeah, so when I did that, did you want me to roll a stealth check?
I don't know. Jackie just said that she saw it, so, and glared at you.
Damn it.
But, like, nobody's gonna judge you. Basically what happened is your chaotic self was like, I'm gonna touch it anyways, and everybody just kind of like looked, anybody who noticed like looked at you in shock, like, what the fuck, you just saw what happened to the drow. And when nothing happens and the
I just don't want them to be like, oh, you're like Draco Malfoy, you totally like, you're the guy of Slytherin, the heir of Slytherin, even though they don't know like his story, you know. I don't want people to not know my story.
Well, I think they look at you, and then when you touch it and the like the gem like glows like it's trying to do something to you and then fizzles out and dies out. Rowan looks at you really impressed and he's like, wow, it didn't do anything to you, did it?
I open my mouth and I pretend to not speak. I'm like, you know that thing where people like make jokes and they're like, oh, you can't hear me, and they just like mouth words?
And then Tika just like laughs and he's like,
yeah, that's what I do. I just like mouth words at him and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I can't talk. You can't hear me? You can't hear me right now? I can hear me just fine. That kind of thing.
Tika laughs because he can totally like tell that you're fucking with Rowan.
Does Rowan know though? If he rolls
do a whistle, performance check.
Performance.
You roll performance.
Or should I roll? Yeah, probably performance.
And I'll do a perception check on
okay. So I
you rolled a 14?
Yeah.
Perception. He rolled a 15 in perception.
Damn. So close.
So he doesn't quite believe you. He rolls his eyes and he turns towards Fluffles. Like,
one of these days, my character's going to be literally dying and not a single person is going to believe me.
I love your character.
You cry too many times.
I just feel like she's such a jerk. Like, she's a cat, man. She's here for the fuckery.
Just walks past a shelf, pushes everything off. Why not?
Yeah, that's like a great place for a nap. Like, I don't know.
I think Rowan's okay with you. He's just like, he was impressed, and then you did the thing, and he was like, of course she did. Of course she fucking did. And then Atika loves you. Hillier's nervous around you still, because he doesn't like it. Kelly has grown semi-fond of you, but he's still nervous about the whole necromancy thing. I want to be very clear. You did the arcana check. You're the only one that knows that it advances necromancy. And because you have it in your possession, if you use a necromancy spell, it will give you plus two to the attack.
Okay, plus two to my necromancy attacks.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to make a note of that.
While it's still in your possession.
Okay. So does it have a name?
Not that you're aware of at the moment.
Kate.
Awesome. Yeah. So it'll do that, and then it has the stats of a regular blade, other than
a dagger.
Yeah. So a regular dagger. And
is 1d4 piercing 20 to 60 feet.
So I'm gonna say that it's actually 2d4 or 1d8 if you want to do it that way instead, and it gives you plus two to the attack.
Okay.
So if you attack with the dagger, it'll give you plus two, and it'll leave necrotic damage.
But how does that work? Oh, it's
so like even so when I cast my so even though like when I'm holding it, it's in my hand, and I cast inflict wounds, it gives my inflict wounds +2.
Yes. You also get +2 when you use it as a dagger, and it'll deal 2d4 damage instead of 1.
Can I just do 1d8?
Yeah, do 1d8 if that's what you really want. But...
Okay. 1d8 +1.
And it's necromancy necrotic damage. Necrotic and piercing when you use it as a dagger.
It also has necrotic damage?
Yeah, it's like a dagger laced with necromancy powers.
So what kind of role is that? Because if it has necrotic damage, then it has its own damage as well.
I thought it was just if something was susceptible to necromancy, it just added like a damage bonus.
No, one second. How would I look into it and then I'll get back to you.
Okay, for right now, we're just going to assume that if something has a, is susceptible to necromancy, that it just doubles or doesn't double damage, but it, let's look it up now because like I don't fucking know and I don't want to be spewing random shit just to be told I'm wrong later.
I always thought that it was just like it still is the same role and everything. It's just that type of damage. So if a particular creature is susceptible to that type of damage, it would, you know, I thought it would work that way.
Yeah, it would take like extra damage is what I thought. So like kind of like in Pokemon.
Just be a certain weapon that I'm thinking of. Like I think what it is like some weapons have like their slashing damage and then another magical thing that's like plus this damage as well. So I might just be me like spewing bullshit. So
see, I thought it was like Pokemon where like if there was a Pokemon that was susceptible to a kind of damage and you used a power with that kind of damage, they got extra damage.
Yeah, that could be it.
Yeah, that's what I was sort of thinking too.
That's fine. We can do it that way. That's totally cool. I'm totally fine with that.
I'm gonna look it up.
I think I'm just thinking of specific weapons, not how it actually is.
How does necrotic damage work in 5e? Necrotic damage deals with the forces of death. It withers matter and the soul. It sucks life, but also gives it, in the case of spells such as revivify, effects such as necrotic damage include chill touch, innervation, finger of death, and an evocation of wizard's overchanneled ability. Damage type. Very few creatures are vulnerable to necrotic damage. Creatures resistant to necrotic damage include almost most undeads and liches. Creatures immune to necrotic damage include many undeads and certain demon lords. Does it say at the top? Damage types are the particular sort of harm a weapon, spell, or other effect induces. While there are no rules specifically about damage types, they are often a key factor in many fights due to the existence of other rules such as resistance and vulnerability. There are 13 different types: acid, bludgeoning, cold, fire, force, lightning, necrotic, piercing, poison, psychic, radiant, slashing, and thunder. Silvered and magically enchanted are not damage types of their own, but they are also important for overcoming resistances. So, like, if something's resistant to necrotic, it will be harmed, I guess, by the piercing, but not so much the necrotic. So I guess vulnerability, also called weakness. Vulnerability represents a special attribute that says a creature takes twice as much damage for a specific damage type. Vulnerability is regarded as rare, and most damage types have few, if any, creatures that are vulnerable to it. Some of the more well-known cases of vulnerability include vampires and radiant damage, earth elementals and thunder damage, and plant creatures and fire damage. So if something is susceptible to piercing or necrotic damage, it will take double the damage.
Okay, so it is kind of like the Pokemon thing that we were talking about.
Yeah, no, totally.
And resistance, I believe, means half damage? Yeah, they take half damage. So it's important. So like if they're resistant to the necrotic damage, then they will take half damage. If they are susceptible to it, they will take double.
Okay.
Works for me.
Awesome.
Works for me.
So we left off with you guys had just finished all this stuff. Rowan, I think, went outside to go after.
No, Rowan was looking at me, I think.
Rowan went and looked at you, yes. Yeah. Rowan looked at you. Does Azira do anything? Like
I don't know what Azira did. I think she's just gonna be very concerned that her home was invaded in such a way. So she's just gonna she's gonna help where she can. But for the most part, she's just going to sit back because it's her home. Okay. That hasn't happened here before.
So I think Rowan looks over the scene in front of him and he says, it's not safe to stay here anymore. And I think we should pack up and leave as soon as possible. Once the drow is better and not screaming every time Kelly's in a room. We'll get all our things and we'll go. Will you be coming with us, Azura? I think it's the safest way for you to be. I think it's safest that you're with us instead of here alone.
I think so too.
Okay. Oddbell, don't lose the dagger. We need to be able to give it to Lashen.
Who is that?
He's the leader of the Order of the Fallen.
Why does he want the dagger?
So it's that it dagger. Won't fall into the wrong hands. It looks like we don't know what's wrong, what's going on with that dagger, and you being the only one that can pick it up is not a, and you know that you're not the only one anymore, but you do know that if activated, it would go back to being able to curse people and cause necromancy problems.
What do you mean activated? Like used?
So like if somebody tried to use it to channel necromancy instead of like, so they could, what could potentially happen with this dagger is they could use it to channel more like stronger necromancy, which would reactivate the cursing capabilities of it. So
there's like uses before it turns into some shenanigans.
Yeah. So if you want to know the stats about this thing, so
I have an identify. I'll just wait until I'm done my thing and I'll do it.
Okay. So like with this, if you roll a 1, you get 2 curses together. 2 to 10 is 1 curse. 11 to 17, the person holding it has no effect, but anybody else who tries to touch it will get affected and have to roll a Constitution save. At 18 to 20 on a Constitution save, it makes it dormant. But if used in a particular way, it will reactivate and start doling out curses again.
So how do I activate it?
So doing so would be to channel something like a level 5 or level 6 necromancy spell that involved like controlling the dead.
Oh yeah, no, super not interested in getting that bad, promise.
Yeah, so if it would be something like that. So if you tried to control the dead with it, then it would reactivate the cursing abilities, but right now it's dormant and it won't like do anything.
Noted.
Yeah, so basically Rowan says, okay, I guess we're all leaving. So everybody pack your things and let's get back on the road. This is where we are switching to the next episode's recording. So there's a little bit of disjoint at the beginning as we get our footings from underneath us. So I'm just doing a quick recap for the girls and then we're running right into it. So, you guys, to recap where you guys were at when we left off, now that we all know your character changes, you guys defeated the cockatrices, found Azura at the Glenfell ruins. Jackie had a moment with Hillier. Azura was talking with Rowan while Rudy and Kelly were catching up on some Z's in the next room. And Jenna, Oddbell, and Tikka were watching over Cerulea. And while all this was happening, you guys got attacked by necromancy. And you guys decided to leave. And that's kind of where we left off.
By necromancy.
Yeah, the attacked.
The whole thing. We just magic. Just necromancy. All of necromancy.
All of the subclass of necromancy as an art form. All of it all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so as you all finish packing, you start to move towards the waterfall where the entrance to the caves are that will take you to the Order of the Fallen. Azura knows the entrance to the cave, but she's never really gone further than this. You have decided to use the shackles that Rowan has from past raids in his sack, and you force Cerulea to walk instead because you guys just can't fit the cart into that area.
No, it's very tiny.
Yeah. And you also risk walking through the wilderness if you try to go around the cliff and through the mountains, which will also be impossible with the cart. So she's walking with shackles on her hands and feet. She's trying not to trip over the chains on her feet. The 2 saddled horses are reserved for Rudy and Kelly, while the 2 that had been pulling the cart are set free. You all notice that the area is eerily quiet since the thunder wave created by Azura. You are all now relieved to make your way to the cave because this level of necromancy has left you all extremely nervous and on edge. It was one thing to do like inflict wounds because that was like, yes, we're in battle, so like you're not raising the dead, but it's still like shocking. But when it comes to this,
she stands by her actions.
Oh, I know. I'm not saying anything. It's just the.
I know, but this is Oddbell talking to all of everyone else. She's like, necromancy is, if not that kind of necromancy that I did, that's what she's doing right now.
Tikka says, it's okay. I get it.
I, like, fist bump him.
Yeah, he fist bumps you back and, like, gives you a wink. And then spends the next 15 minutes mocking every sound that Cerulea makes.
I'm in love with him. I love him.
Azura, as you look, you are following behind everybody. You're not quite up at the front, I think, probably because you're a little nostalgic. So you take a look back over the place that you have loved and lived at your whole life, where all of your memories of your mom are, that you never have really left before. And as you step into the unknown future away from this safe haven, you notice a familiar dark fog rolling into your old home, sweeping around the buildings, and a familiar chill creeps in up your spine. But you notice the group moving away into the cave, lighting torches and unaware of the fog. You move to catch up with them because those feelings of safety and warmth that used to keep you drawn to this place are not enough to outweigh the panic you're feeling as a distant memory tugs at you. You all make your way through the cavern and you come across a division in the tunnel. Up until this point, though, is there anything that you guys want to do? Do you guys want to talk to each other as you walk through the tunnel?
I think I want...
Me too.
I know Azira was apologizing the last time or last episode, so I think Fluffles would just kind of like sneak up on her and start talking to her.
Okay, go ahead. I'm gonna butt out a neat.
Okay. I'd probably just say what happened back there wasn't your fault, you know.
It's hard not to feel that way though. It was my home and it has been solace for travelers like you for so long that...
Were you the one practicing necromancy and attacking all of us?
No, of course not.
Then it's not your fault.
I suppose.
Don't be so hard on yourself. We're okay now.
Well, I guess that is a good thing. Nobody got seriously hurt.
Very true. Except the necromancer, which isn't too bad either.
No, that's not a bad thing at all.
That's all Azura really has to say.
Yeah, me too. I think we just like walk silently beside each other after that.
Okay.
But it's kind of like a silence of camaraderie and... understanding.
Yeah. Okay. Little bond.
I like that.
I only said hey because I thought you were making a sassy comment about Oddbell.
No.
I was like, at least you're not the weird cat necromancer. But I definitely realized way too late that that's not what you're doing. I'm sorry.
No.
Okay. So what does Oddbell do?
So I'm probably walking beside Cerulea.
Okay.
And I think what I would do is, like, because you said she's trying not to trip on the chains.
Yeah.
I probably just lift it with my tail. Like, I'd be standing beside her, not really saying anything, and I just, like, scoop it up with my tail and hold it there.
Oh, that's
cute.
I'm
not saying anything.
I think Tikka sees this, kind of gives you a side eye, a little curious, and even Cerulea is like, what are you doing?
I say nothing. I just kind of look at her, like, out of the corner of my eye, and I'm like, what are you looking at? What are you staring at? You got a problem? Just, like, holding it up and pretending like I don't know that it's happening. I'm just like, I know it's happening, okay? Oddbell completely knows her tail is holding. She's doing that on purpose. But when Cerulea is like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, why are you looking at me weird? Huh? Like, what do you want? Like, yeah.
I think Cerulea just, like, kind of takes one last double take and then, like, kind of smiles down at her feet a little bit. Tries to hide it, but...
Yeah, bitch. We're gonna be best friends.
And then she, like, kind of shakes her head and resolve settles over her. And she just kind of accepts it and doesn't look at you again.
You're welcome.
She just kind of gets a little stiff. And she's like, I don't know how to react to the situation. That's the air that she's giving off. She doesn't say that, but she's like, I don't know what to do.
That was so fucking weird.
And Tikka's just, like, trying to keep his chuckles in.
She's so funny.
So you guys, at one point you guys set up camp right about where the river starts on the mountain. Like if you look at the thing, yeah, that's about a half a day's trip. You guys take a small break and then continue on your way. At one point Rowan just says, so we're headed to this town, Zithern. It's underground town halfway between each end of the wilderness on the set in this tunnel. It's really cool. You guys are going to enjoy it. It's like carved out of the rock in the caverns. It's not huge, but it's a lot of travelers travel through here, so because it's safer than just walking in the middle of nowhere. And as you guys keep walking, you come across a division in the tunnel, and without thinking about it, your rescuers start you down the path to the left, ignoring the right tunnel entirely. Fluffles, can you make a perception check for me?
Okay, that's...
Take advantage because you have dark vision. Super dark vision, sorry.
Perfect, because that was a 9.
Okay.
Ha, 14. Okay, what's the modifier then?
The modifier is perception.
Yeah, so it'd be plus your wisdom modifier. If you when you're under skills and you click perception, whatever you roll is what you roll. All of your modifiers included.
Yeah, plus 5 perception.
So did you get a 14 or a 19?
I got it. I rolled a 14, 19 plus.
Okay, awesome. So you look down and with your amazing dark vision, you notice a bit of light faintly bouncing off of the walls about 100 feet where you think there's probably a bend in it. You can't see further than that and you can just kind of see it bouncing off the wall. You think although you do kind of think it might be a trick of the eye because it's kind of dim. And everybody else has pretty much ignored this because honestly, their dark vision's not as good as yours. And
you're gonna ask, what's their dark vision like though?
Their dark vision is far less than yours, so they wouldn't have been able to see it. But you also aren't sure if it's like a trick of the eye or something. You've just been in a dark tunnel so long that you're like the light from the torch and it's bouncing off of the darkness in that tunnel. You're just not quite sure at this moment. Like when you look at the sun for too long or a light for too long and suddenly it's like imprinted on your retina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're not quite sure what it is. And you guys start down that tunnel and suddenly you hear the blood-curdling scream of a small child echoing down that chamber you just passed. What do you do?
I tell the group to wait and I'm going to sneak forward and see what the problem is.
Okay. So as estimated, it's roughly 100 feet away. And you
Can I say something first though?
Okay.
Yeah.
I have dancing lights if they see the light come running.
Okay. What are you
doing? Oh, yes. What have you told us?
Yeah, that's what I told you guys. If you guys see a light just pop up, come running, there's a problem.
Okay. I want to prepare an action.
Okay.
So I would use my... So if something attacks him and he, like, lights up, I want to use... I want to go as... Because he's, like, what, 120?
He's got 120 dark vision.
Okay, but how far away is he from us?
100 feet.
100 feet. So I have feline agility, which lets me double my movement speed until the end of my turn.
Mm-hmm.
So I can move 60 feet. And then I would hit. If anything attacks him, I'm going to run over there as fast as I can. Yeah, because I guess I wouldn't be able to make it 100 feet. But I would just, as soon as I see the light pop up, I'm running.
You could all creep closer if you wanted to so that you could. And then it's just like Fluffles looking around the corner.
I think I'll do that. I'll sneak up. I'll follow behind him very, very carefully, trying to be very quiet. But I'm not going to follow him around the corner, but just enough so that I'm within a safe distance of him.
Yeah. So I think Rowan gestures for Rudy and Kelly to stay with the horses in the main tunnel. And he makes Cerulea stay back, and he has Tikka stay behind too.
To watch her?
To watch her, yeah. Because Rudy's still, like, kind of weak from her episode. She didn't really have, like, she had time to rest, but not very long before the necromancy started. So she's still really fatigued. And Kelly's watching her, and he can't watch her and Cerulea alone. So, and Rowan's the stronger fighter, so he's just decided that he's going and not Tikka. And he follows you guys. So everybody make a stealth roll.
See, that's why I wanted to go alone.
It's going to be really low for them because they're not close.
Yeah, so like we're basically like 80 feet away and you're, you're 100 feet away from us and we're only like 20 feet in. I got a 9 though, so.
I got a 5.
You did not, Jess.
Yeah. It didn't want to roll good for me today.
And Jackie, what'd you get?
Dirty 20.
Okay, awesome. So Jenna, your footfalls are masked by the wailing of the child, and Jess is a little bit louder than she could have been. Azura is a little louder. Her footfalls are a little louder, but you guys aren't sure if anything has heard you. As for Fluffles, you are silent as silent can be. You are like a whisper of a breeze on a warm summer day that nothing would notice you unless they really paid attention. And even then, they probably wouldn't because just the heat of that roll was awesome. Okay, so you sneak up to the corner and look around and it opens up into this huge circular cavern that it has a dilapidated mini cart track running through the tunnel about 50 feet above the floor. And it's filled with old remnants of what might be a main area for the miners that worked here all those years ago, back when Glenfell was still a really popular mining town. and it has two entrances on either side of it, and you are standing in one of them. You see in the very center of the circular room is a stalactite poking out of the ground with a flattened surface where the most beautiful Aladrin child you've ever seen is sitting. He has piercing green eyes, soft golden and wavy hair that falls just below his shoulders. He has light olive skin that shimmers in the light of the fallen torch on the ground between him and you. And you can tell based on elven lifespans that though he is a toddler, he's likely about 7 or 8 years old. He is sitting. There is blood coming from a gash on his leg, and at the base of the stalactite look to be two Aladrin forms that are not moving. Around him, in the torchlight, circling the stalactite, looks to be about 4 death dogs. This is weird for a couple reasons. They haven't stopped to tear into the forms on the floor, and they are native to the desert, which is not abundant in Catalosa. You intuit that these dogs are either lost or put here intentionally. What do you do?
I don't see this, right? I was like,
no, this is all Jackie.
Yeah, okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cast my cantrip Dancing Lights. And then how far are the dogs away?
So they're in the center of the room. The circular room is about, I want to say, 50 feet across and about 100 feet high.
Okay.
And in the very center of it, like it's the very center is where the stalactite is.
I'm Lovely. Going to use my sneak attack skill with my short bow. And I'm going to shoot one arrow at the one closest to me. And then I'm going to use cunning action and, oh no, cunning action just lets me dart away. So I'm just going to shoot an arrow at the dog closest to me with sneak attack.
Okay, so roll an attack roll.
Plus proficiency?
With advantage plus your dexterity modifier, I believe.
Okay, well that works out way better. 19 plus dex.
Is a hit.
Plus proficiency bonus, another 3.
So roll damage.
I destroy him. 1d6 plus 3. 8. 8 damage.
Okay. And the dogs are alerted to your presence now because you shoot him and he whimpers and cries out and they all just kind of at once snap their heads and look straight at you. Do you have a second action or? Well, actually, I think that's a surprise round, so I don't think you get more than one.
I mean, I have cunning action, which would allow me to dart away, but I'm at the entrance of the cave, and I already signaled the others to come.
Okay.
So that's in the middle, and then at least you're by yourself. Like, if you did use your cunning action, like, just a thought, obviously, you don't have to do it, but, like, if you used your cunning action to come back towards us, then you wouldn't be alone as long.
That's true.
Although...
So maybe I'll use... No, I'll draw my rapier. And
Fluffles ain't no bitch.
No, I'm weak as shit, but I ain't no bitch.
All right, so let's roll initiative because you guys still need to run the length of the. How far away did you say you guys were? Like 30, 60?
We were.
She was 100 feet away from us, then we're 80 feet away from her.
So you guys said that you followed her somewhat down the length of it, right?
Yeah, we're just like farther back.
We'll say you're about 50 yards away, like halfway between, and then...
Okay.
Okay, so roll initiative.
19, plus what's the...
Dex.
21. No, 22.
Okay. And I got a 12.
I got an 11.
Okay. Oh, no. They got a nat 20. So, and they have plus 2 to dex, so they're going first.
Oh, boy.
Only one blooper. I just need it to be bigger. What the fuck? I need to be able to see.
No, Keisha, you're not allowed.
Eat my dick.
It's your husband's job.
I mean, you're right, but...